We've got a great show lined up for you today. We have Tom Marble coming in to tell us a little bit more about the OpenJDK project, and we have Greg with an awesome gadget. Stay tuned. You'll like this one.
We interrupt this program for an important bulletin.
Welcome back. Today joining me is Tom Marble, the OpenJDK ambassador. Welcome, Tom.
Thanks, Kuldeep.
Thanks for joining us. So, we were here about a year ago within the studio talking about different subjects, but do you remember when we were here?
Yeah, this was SDN talking about Linux just about a year ago. I think you were talking about Sun Studio, and I was talking about our new DLJ license for Java that we announced at Java 1 last year. And so there was that whole website about Linux at Sun.
So we're here a year later, and there's some big changes.
There's some really big changes. I know that there's a lot that has gone on with Sun Studio and an awful lot with open source Java.
So let's get into that. So what's been going on the last year in terms of open source Java?
Well, of course, the big thing was November 13th, which was the big bang where Sun announced our license choice for open source Java, which was the GPL v2. Took the world by storm. Nobody could believe it. Everyone's jaw was on the floor. And people that had doubted our seriousness about open sourcing Java finally realized that, hey, Sun is serious about open sourcing Java. They've done it under the GPL. This is amazing. We released the Hotspot Virtual Machine, the Java C compiler, and really at that time started to get the community involved in what we were doing.
So were we talking about, a million lines of code? How large was this code base?
Well, we were sort of giving out a couple of samples at that time. That wasn't the whole code base. I don't remember exactly how many lines of code. But what we told people was, we will release the rest of the code by the end of the first half of 2007.
So did we hold up to our promise?
We did. We did. It was at Java 1 this year. We released 6.5 million lines of code, the whole thing. Everything, little asterisk, that we had copyright control over, we released.
So all these 6.5 million lines of code, it's all GPL v2, and people can go out and start using it today?
They can download it. Contribute. They can build it. As I mentioned, there's a couple of pieces of code that we don't have copyright for, and we, with OpenJDK, we provide some binary plugs so people can actually build a JDK that is complete and useful with the code that we've got that's available under the GPL.
So what was the reaction? Did it take a few weeks for people to actually get it built and start getting it incorporated into what they were doing?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because we were sitting there at Moscone Center May 8th, and I calculated this. Within about 2 hours, one of the developers from Gentoo Linux had OpenJDK packaged for Gentoo.
Same day,
a couple of hours. Within a day, one of the hackers from the Fedora project had OpenJDK packaged for Fedora. And that started an entire wave of people jumping into the source code, getting involved, chatting on IRC. And so that's really when the ball got rolling big time.
So what needs to happen? So if I was interested, I've got, my Kuldeep distribution, and I want to grab the OpenJDK code and I want to build it and create my own version. Do I need to come back to Sun? What do I need to do to actually start distributing it?
Well, it's a really good question. Right now, because of those binary plugs, it's really hard to distribute the result of that. And so what we're doing is we're working with the community to get OpenJDK to 100% pure open source. So one of the things that we've done, well, actually I say we as the larger community, not Sun, has done is created this project called Ice-T, which is basically OpenJDK without the binary plugs that can be redistributed.
So if I go out and I go to the Ice-T project and I grab the code there, knowing that there's some holes in that, we might have some alpha software, beta software filling out some of the holes, I can actually take that, build it, and start redistributing it because it's not tied in.
That's right. That's right. That's part of the freedom that's given to you under the GPL.
Excellent. So are we working with the Linux distributors right now, like the major ones, the Red Hat, or the big projects like Fedora and OpenSUSE?
We are. As a matter of fact, Kuldeep, a number of us from Java SE attended the FOSDEM conference this past winter in Brussels, and Remember, this is after the November 13th announcement. We announced GPL. We got a lot of people interested in Brussels about open source Java. And in the room, we had representatives from Debian, Ubuntu, Fedora, Red Hat, CentOS, Gentoo, and OpenSUSE.
So basically all the major...
It's a quorum of Linux distributors.
Well, that's great. So, you know, I know you're doing some forward thinking. I mean, besides being, you know, a bright developer and you're also a forward thinking person. And you've told me, you know, we were sitting here chatting before we started taping, that you had this vision in terms of packaging.
Yeah, so, that's true. I have this blog that I'm about to write called The Java Experience. And what I mean by that is I imagine that using any operating system, in this case we're talking about GNU Linux, but using any operating system, a user should be able to search for software, find Java software that they're interested in, click it, install it, and have it just work. You know, trademark, out of the box, have that experience where it's really well integrated with the operating system. And what we found is that packaging is kind of the secret sauce to make that happen.
Right, and so, you know, in terms of, you know, there's this concept of trying to get Java in as many different places so that people can rely on it. You know, you had some thoughts that if as Java gets more widespread within the Linux community and the Linux distributions, that actually is going to induce this new behavior in terms of system utilities and those sort of things. So can you expand on that?
Actually, this isn't my idea. This was an idea that came from one of the lead developers in the GCJ project, which was, hey, what if Java became part of the Linux tool chain? What would that mean? Well, it would mean that Java would be a mandatory part of the operating system. It would mean that applications could rely on Java being there. But more interestingly, it would mean that system tools could be written in Java, because Java would be part of the operating system.
Right, right.
And as you know, it's easier to write programs in Java than it is in C, and of course, much easier to have GUI programs than you know, to do it the hard way, the old way, with X bindings.
Writing
and so
the native, you know, GNOME or KDE type bindings,
right,
and all that.
So there's a benefit for GNU Linux distributions. Not only is it easier, but now you only have one package to maintain because it's architecture independent, whether you're on Opterons or you're on Intel chips or you're on Spark. You know, you'd have one Java jar that would work for
all the
systems.
So we're potentially at the brink of as this gets out, a brink of maybe a new set of Java applications that will flourish in this area.
I think so. I think that it's a really exciting time, because as Java becomes more part of these distributions and becomes part of the entire ecosystem that the developers are using to develop everything else that they work on in GNU Linux, I think that will help developers create libraries, and the availability of the tools in the libraries will help the application developers develop and deploy their applications.
Right, right. So let's take a moment and talk a little bit about the OpenJDK open source project itself.
Okay.
So what's the code out of that 6.5 million lines of code? What's the code base? Is it some C, C++, and the rest Java? What's it look like?
There's a lot of it which is Java. A lot of the libraries, of course, are all in Java.
Sure.
The hotspot virtual machine is in C++. And, you know, there's a little bit of assembly language in there because, of course, you know, Java is a really high-performance virtual machine. As I'm sure you know, we have world record benchmarks on our Sun hardware, little plug. And, you know, to get that, you know, we're doing the work in the hotspot virtual machine, in some cases hand-tuned assembly, to make sure that the Java developer doesn't have to worry about that stuff.
So if I was interested in contributing back, you know, getting the source code, building it, and then finding areas I want to contribute, what sort of tools should I get to start getting involved in the project?
Well, it's a good question. We have some documentation on our OpenJDK website, which is openjdk.java.net, that tells you what you need to download to get started, to get going on building the project. And one thing that we've talked about doing and we haven't done yet is take a page out of the book from OpenSolaris in publishing some starter bugs. In other words, what OpenSolaris has done is they've identified some bugs that contributors can start to sink their teeth into to get involved in the project, and we're going to try and emulate that concept in OpenJDK too.
So, you know, we had, you know, one of the significant people in the open source industry join Sun recently, Ian Murdoch. Is he involved in any way with what's happening with OpenJDK and that side of the world?
He is. It's been really great to get to know Ian. I've been a Debian user for many, many years, and so it's really neat to get to meet him face to face. And some of the discussions that Ian and I have been having are around revitalizing Java standards for GNU Linux. And so he's been talking with the Linux Foundation and talking about modernizing Java standards for the Linux Standards Base project. So I think that we'll see, not only from a sort of a source code technical aspect, but also from standardization, Java become more of an integral part of the GNU Linux ecosystem. And of course, because Ian's doing that, you can bet that the Open Solaris Indiana project will benefit from the same standardization.
Exactly. So if people want to learn more information, get involved in the community, you mentioned the URL earlier, but where should people go?
openjdk.java.net.
That's great. This is wonderful. Thank you for joining us today, Tom.
Thanks, Cody.
Hey, I'm Greg Poston, the Geek Gadget Guru, and I have a little gadget that everyone needs these days. This is the Wi-Fi Hotspot Finder made by IOGear. And what it does, you hit the button, and it does its little blinking LEDs and tells you the signal strength of a Wi-Fi hotspot near you, or if there's one at all. And we can see here, looks like we have a pretty good signal here. So go ahead and pick one up. They're about $10. Then you too can find all the high Wi-Fi hotspots around. I'm Greg Poston, the Geek Gadget Guru, and we'll see you next time.
That wraps up this edition of SDN TV. We want to thank Tom for coming in and telling us a little bit more about the OpenJDK project, and Greg for his interesting gadget. For more information, go to the SDN channel blog, and we'll see you next time.